So glad that you're here this morning. I just want to reminisce a little bit about what happened this last week, and I think it just needs to be mentioned. You know, we had our memorial service for our brother Daryl Lindrum, and what a great tribute it was to this guy that people loved, so many people loved. I was just absolutely blitzed. I was amazed. And I felt the presence of God in here as we were sharing memories about Daryl. And, you know, I just see the great need of mankind for relationships and friendships. And what a tremendous difference that makes in people's lives. But how much more does church and being in God's presence and a relationship with God matter in someone's life? Like, even for Daryl, going through tremendous trials, struggles in his life, but he looked to God. You know, and he used to sit right about there. I'm going to preach like he's still there this morning, you know. But just remember the family, all those who loved them and dearly miss them. So I know it's a real difficult time, you know, the process of just, you know, dealing with the loss. But it's something I have to deal with too. It's something that I cried this morning about. So just remember, people are so special. Every individual is so special to God. When they come through these doors, we need to embrace them like Jesus would. Right? There are people that are broken, beat up, with no hope ever. And it's their last hope sometimes. But I want you to embrace people no matter who they are, no matter what they've come from. The world has given up on them, but Jesus never gives up. Amen? So we embrace, and that's who we are. Family of God. Amen? Amen. We're going to get right into the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the power of the Bible, the power of your Word to transform us and change us. I pray that as I speak these words, that they penetrate deep into our heart, that we're able to understand it, to believe it, receive it, so that it really gets right down to the very feet of our lives, that we're able to live out this word practically so that it just blesses us in our life and it gives glory back to you. Thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're into this series called, what's it called? The Power of the Bible. The Power of the Bible. And the reason why we're doing this series is because I want you to love the Bible. I want you to love the Bible. I want you to get the Bible into you, and I want you to start developing habits that cause God's Word to get deep into us. Amen? I wanted to really go deep. And we do that by reading it, by loving it, and by delighting in the Word of God. And that's what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Joshua 1 verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now both Psalm 1 and Joshua chapter 1, those verses, they say the same thing. And what they're saying is this: if we really get the Word of God into us, deep into us, that we will bear fruit. We'll be like these trees planted along this riverbank, and we will bear fruit in every single season of our life. And that we will prosper in all we do. We will be successful in all we do. And you know, it's an exhortation right from the mouth of God. It's a command, it's an exhortation that has a tremendous promise attached to it. We will be successful in all we do. We will prosper, we will bear fruit. Tremendous promise. The message today is entitled, The Word Divides. The Word Divides. And the theme for this message is found in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, which says, For the Word of God is living and powerful. What is it? It's living and it's powerful. and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division, there's that word dividing, even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The first thing we see in that scripture is the Word is alive. The Word is alive. It's breathing. It's the living Word of God. The King James Version says it this way: for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. His Word is quick. His Word is quick. His Word is like the speed of light. Nothing faster than light, is there? Speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, which is 671 million miles per hour, which means that light travels at a speed of 7.5 times around the earth in 1 second. Wow, that's light. It's quick. It's fast acting, right? Way faster than Advil. It's quickening light. It's vital light. And it's alive. The Word is alive. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end." Your new life, can you say that, those two words, new life? Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the Word of the Lord remains forever. And that Word is the good news that was preached to you. What 1 Peter is saying is this: the Word is not only alive, it's powerful. It's powerful in that it produces, when it gets into you, it produces new life. It produces eternal life. Right? And when it gets into us, it continually powerfully in us. There's another version that says it's like an indestructible seed. The Word of God is an indestructible seed that once we get into us and we allow it to get into us, it has the power to produce the life of God in us. Do we understand that? It's powerful. Here's how it produces life. Once we get this Word into us, the first thing it does, it begins to pull down strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are house of thoughts. Lies, wrong thoughts, wrong perceptions, wrong ideas about who we are, who God is, our identity. Wrong, right? It pulls down strongholds. It pulls down Satan's kingdom, and it sets up God's kingdom. God's kingdom, God's thoughts towards you, God's truths, God's ideas, God's purpose for your life. That's what the Word of God does, right? It's so powerful. It pulls down, and it's a two-edged sword. It's powerful, it's alive, and it's a two-edged sword. Number three, it's a sword that divides. It's a dividing sword. It does holy surgery in us, right? It divides in us. And it shows us where we need to change. It does surgery on the most secret, intimate parts. We let the Word of God into us. We meditate on it. We think on it. It has the power to go into the deepest areas of your soul. Right? It has the power. It cuts. It divides. It divides. Divides here. Wisdom from foolishness. It divides truth from error. Life from death. Light from darkness. It divides the sheep from the goats, the godly from the ungodly. It divides right from wrong. The Word of God can do this kind of deep surgery in us. It's because it's alive, it's powerful, it's eternal, it's the dividing Word of God. Amen? Hebrews 12 and many, many other scriptures tell us that God is not only a God who unites and brings into oneness and wholeness, He's also a God that divides. In fact, before God can multiply, before He can increase, before He can add, He often needs to divide. Let me give you some examples. Number one, creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. Go to verse 7. God made this space to separate the waters from the earth, and the waters from the earth from the waters of heavens, and called the space sky. So He separated. He separated light from darkness, earth from the sky, right? Earth from the water. There was division before there was creation. Do we see that? Okay, another example, marriage. Genesis chapter 2, 24. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. And we could almost replace that word "and" with the word "so." So they can become one flesh. Do we see that? Before God can multiply, He has to separate, or He has to divide before divide you from something so that you can move forward and you can go on in your life. Right? Do you see that? Salvation. I see, sometimes that's one of the greatest hindrances in a marriage relationship. When the son doesn't divide from his mother, he can't connect. You can't cleave until you leave, right? There has to be a dividing before there is a multiplying, right? Salvation. We see that in salvation. The disciples of Jesus, what did they have to divide from? What did they have to leave? They had to leave their nets. They had to leave their old life. They even had to leave their parents. And Jesus is saying, leave your old life behind. Follow me. You've got to have your own faith. Listen, your parents might be Christians. They might have been Mennonite. But just because your parents were Mennonite doesn't make you a Mennonite. If you believe in Jesus, it makes you a Christian, right? You got to have your own faith, right? So, Matthew 19:29, Jesus said, and everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, or mother, or father, or children, or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much, and will inherit eternal life. What's he saying? Hey, if you give up all these things for me, I'll bless you with 100-fold. When you get to heaven? No, right now. And eternal life. See, before God can multiply, He has to separate and divide you from something that is stopping you from going forward. It's all about dividing and separating, right? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. God divides you from your old nature so that you can have His new nature, right? Number four, we see that in our work. Everyone needs a Sabbath rest. Everyone needs a Sabbath rest. The biggest problem in today's society is people don't get the amount of rest that they need, right? We're just too busy. We're just going from one thing to another. We need to rest. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But He what? Rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and He made it holy. Right? Well, I got to keep working. I got so many bills to pay. I got student loans. I just got a new car. I still have my mortgage. I got to work. No, you need to take time to rest, right? And you need to be at home in God's house. Amen? It was a command that day in the Old Testament. You had to take a Sabbath rest. You can do anything. You had to rest. You had to rejuvenate. You had to spend time in the presence of God. Not just rest in your body. You got to rest in your soul. Rest in your spirit, right? That's why you need to be in God's house too. So many people who don't take a rest, I just see they're tired, they're sick, they're anxious, they're depressed. Number three. Number five. Number five, we see it in fasting and prayer. Jesus often fasted from food because he knew that denying fleshly desires would actually increase his spirit, increase his power. Luke chapter 5, 16 says, but Jesus often, he did it a lot, withdrew to lonely places. That's just to being alone with God. And he prayed one-on-one with God. You know, see, I see people always trying to add things to their life as if that's the answer. You know, if that's going to fix everything. You know, see people saying, well, if I just had a new job or just had a new house or just had more clothes, just add more stuff, right? Just add more stuff. That would be the answer to their life and make them out happier, right? See, I believe that the first question I should not ask is this. What do I need to add to my life? The first question that I really need to ask is, what do I need to subtract from my life, right? What do I need to subtract so that I can multiply, so that I can move forward, that I can be prosperous and that I could be successful? That's the key. It's about getting rid of some things in order to move on to greater things, right? You know, if you look at the Bible, there's talks about all kinds of people, and they had to subtract in their life. God had to do some dividing before they could move on to what God had for them, right? And I'm going to give you just a few. Listen, who's the first guy that I think of? Is Abraham. Abraham had to leave Ur of the Chaldees, his homeland, in order to follow God's plan for his life, right? And he had to even divide from Lot, his nephew. Here's another guy, David. David had to divide himself from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. Well, it's a good reason to divide, right? I mean, he had to get away from under Saul. And yet, at the same time, he had to honor him. How about Moses? Moses had to leave the Egyptian life. He had to leave the Egyptian life and his position in order to be the deliverer of God's people, the call on his life for Israel, the nation of Israel. Israel had to leave Egypt in order to enter the promised land, right? And you and me, you have to leave your old life in order to enter in the promises of God, right? Here's a few more. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb had to leave the murmuring, complaining spirit of that generation in order to enter into the promised land in the next generation, right? You think of it. They're the only two guys that didn't complain and murmur. Complaining and murmuring can keep you out of the promises of God, right? How about Samson? What did Samson have to leave? Samson had to leave Delilah. Samson never left Delilah, and it literally cost him his life, right? How about the apostle? How about Daniel? Daniel could not eat from the king's table. But he chose to eat food that was 10 times better for him. And he was healthier, right? It's a good lesson for us today as well. How about Paul? Paul had a guy in his life named Alexander the coppersmith. You know, supposed to be a believer. But he was jealous and started to defame Paul. Tried to hurt Paul's reputation. So what did Paul do? He cut the cord of that relationship, right? You know, so we just keep on looking at different people that had to leave something in order to go on with God. Even Jesus had to leave his mother at the foot of the cross and give her to and leave her in John's responsibility if he was going to fulfill his mission, right? Jesus had to break the 5 loaves and 2 fish in order to feed 5,000 people. You know, it's so much about God is saying, you know, you have to divide, you have to leave, right? But let me clarify and maybe make it real clear that there should be no divisions in the church. Amen? There should be no divisions in the church. God wants unity. God wants oneness in the church. He says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1, let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Wow. Takes work to be united, right? We've got to have the mind of Christ. When you think about dividing the enemy, we have an enemy that wants to divide, right? Satan is the biggest liar. He's also the biggest divider. This is on your PowerPoint. Satan wants to divide you from what brings you life. What brings you life? Satan wants to divide you from things that are so important for you as a Christian. Things like God's word. Things like God's house, church. Like good friends. Like godly influences. And that's what Satan wants to divide you from. You know, I also want to clarify in that the scripture where Jesus was saying, unless you leave brothers, mothers, brothers, sisters, even your wife and children. You know, I'm not in any way endorsing that you do stupid stuff. Like saying, well, Pastor Doug said I should leave my wife and I don't have to have, I can leave my family and responsibility. I don't like my job. I'm not telling you to do stupid stuff like that that's difficult in your life, right? Even when my wife is being difficult, I don't deny her, right? And opposite, right? She's my wife for my life, anyway. But listen, you know, Satan wants to divide you from what brings you life. But God's word wants to divide you from what brings you death, right? But what brings you death? We're talking about sin. Sin brings death. We're talking about bad relationships. You know, don't hang around with foolish people. You know, sometimes those bad relationships, just because they're Christians, just because they claim to know Christ, doesn't mean it's always a good relationship, right? Make sure that their standards, that they're trying their best to live according to the standards of the Word of God, not according to what they think or the standards of the world. Amen? You know, there's all kinds of things that God created that are good dividers, that are God dividers. Here's just a few practical ones. Number one, here's a door. A door is good. Why? Because it keeps the thieves out and it keeps the kids in from running into the street, right? Fences are good because they delineate property. You know, there's no fights and feuds. Feuds are for privacy, for security. How about the next one? Lines on the court. They determine what's inbounds and what's out of bounds. How about the next one? How about a Seychelles filter? We've got one of those. Seychelles, you know, that water filtration, it keeps the contaminants out of the water so you have good, clean, healthy water to drink. And it even keeps contaminants that you can't even see out of your water, right? No, so things go. How about Solomon's mom? Solomon's mom was a divider in Solomon's wife, in Solomon's life. She told him, Solomon, you know, make sure you don't get involved in doing some stuff that's gonna hinder your kingship. And she said in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 2, listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. And Solomon's mama said to Solomon, you know, don't waste your time on, don't waste your strength on women. Don't guzzle alcohol. Don't let that ruin your life. You see, the word, that's what the word does. The word of God puts boundaries around us, right? So for security, so that we can live a blessed life. Thank God for the word of God, right? You know, we think about the trials of life. What are the purpose of the trials of life? You know, and First Peter talks about the purposes of the trials of life. First Peter 1 verse 6. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. I don't know about you, but I never rejoice when I'm going through a trial. I never. I think it's crazy, right? But he says, you need to do that anyway, right? We live in a kingdom that's opposite to the world's, right? And we have an attitude that is the opposite to other people's. He says, when you're going through trials, rejoice. Rejoice. There's great joy ahead, right? He says, even though you must endure trials for a little while, thank God he knows how many trials we can take. Verse 7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. What does fire do? It gets rid of some stuff that shouldn't be there, that is hurting us. And though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Trials test your faith. Trials purify you. Trials help you to get rid of some stuff that is hindering your faith, your trust, your hope in Christ. Amen? Trials are good in the end. Right? So all these things that God brings into our life, the Word of God comes and addresses those things and says, and identify those things that need to change in your life, right? So the question is, big question, what do I need to subtract? What do I need to subtract in my life, right? So what is it? What habit or what addiction or what sin pattern do I need to get rid of, right? What attitude is hampering my faith? What mindset is causing me to fail, right? Causing me to fail. So some of these, right away we know what they are. And because we know what they are, we can do something about them. Others aren't so obvious until the Word of God gets deep into us and starts penetrating and starts separating soul from spirit, right? And then we start to realize, whoa, this is an area in my life that's really hindering my walk in God, my happiness, my family. There are some things that we need the Word of God to get so deep into us, we don't know what they are until it gets deep into us, right? And that's why I say we got to read it, you got to write it out, you got to meditate on it, let it sink deep into your soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as God says, I will live with them and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers, separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What's God saying? He's saying this: be separate, be unconnected, not united, united, distinct from the world. Amen? The world needs to see a difference between a true Christ follower of Jesus and from someone who's unsaved, right? There needs to be a difference. And that's what the Word of God does. It shows us what the wrong things are. And when you can discern the wrong things, it's then you can connect to the right things, right? You know, I think about my faith walk with God. I've been a Christian for over 30 years now. But the first 2 years of my life with Christ, it was a huge struggle. I struggled so much in serving God. And the reason is because there were some things in my life I needed to, that were wrong, I needed to get rid of, but I didn't want to subtract them from my life. You see, I just wanted to add Jesus to my old life. Just add Jesus, right? How many know that doesn't work with God, right? And those 2 years were the two of the most miserable years of my life. Because I was living between two worlds, between Jesus, between myself and Jesus. And you can't serve yourself and Jesus at the same time, right? And so guess who won out? Praise God, right? He never gives up on you. I tell you, in those 2 years, I lived like hell. But everything I did, I got so convicted. I was so depressed. I could not enjoy the sin that I wanted to enjoy. You know? And God brought me back. And when I finally surrendered, He took me through a season of separation. And it was a great season. A great season. I started getting new friends. I got new friends. I started loving Jesus like I never loved Him before. And the Word of God started to change my attitudes. And the Word of God started to change me. You know, and I literally, I was experiencing a revolution in my life because the Word was such a huge part. I couldn't wait to read the Word every single day. You know, when you get the Word into you and it starts operating you on your PowerPoint, ultimately it does spiritual surgery on your heart. And when you allow the Word of God to get into you, you know what it does? It begins to heal you. It starts to make you whole. It begins to free you, right? And it releases you to live this life flat out for Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the power of the Bible. The power of the Bible is that He, through the Word of God, He sets up His kingdom within us. Remember Jesus said, when one of the disciples said, hey, show me your kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. It's within you. Remember, it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom culture that we live in. The kingdom culture is counterculture to the cultures of this world. There needs to be a visible difference between who we are and who the world is. Amen? And that's the power of the Word. It frees us, it releases us to be all that we're called to be. And the bottom line is, it's not just for our own personal health, happiness and prosperity and blessing. It's all about God. It's all about living for Jesus, who gave up everything for you, and were to live out this life as a vessel and a servant of God for His glory. Amen? Amen. So, what do you got to do? You got to read it, you got to write it out, and you got to meditate on it. Amen? Did you get the Word? We understand. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a brand new creation. The old passes away, the new begins to develop and kick in. You know, maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today. And you're tired of the old. You're tired of the old. And you know you need something new. Right? But the first thing that God wants to give you, God wants to do, what He wants to move you into something that's new and fresh and alive. But the first thing you got to do is you give up the old. You got to give up your old ways, old life, and say, God, I surrender to you. If you're here today, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, who said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Brand new purpose, brand new reason for living. And the greatest goal and reward is eternity in heaven. If you never received Christ into your life and you're here today, I want to lead you in a prayer. And I promise you, this prayer, short, simple, but it will be the most powerful prayer you will ever pray. All right? We just bow your heads. And let's repeat this prayer. And let's all repeat this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins. Here and today, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life, leader of my life, starting today. Make me into that new person. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you said that prayer for the very first time, could you just please raise your hand and keep it up? I see your hand. Thank you. Said that prayer, raise your hand. I received Christ into my life. Greatest decision you will ever make is receiving Jesus. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you for joining us here today. Awesome to have you in God's house. So, if you got a father, you know, call him up. Say thank you for being my dad. All right? We're going to close.